Welcome back to Chattering This. In the second hour on every Friday, we usually go to our guest, Aiku Aluzuli, who is one of the foremost experts on Islam and the truth about Islam. And he's the author of two books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. And we have him here now. Aiku, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, very good. So I noticed that Iran just elected a new president, President Rouhani. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it makes absolutely no difference. You know, the tragedy of Western mind, both in America and in Europe, your leadership in Europe and in America, have not understood the Islamic mind. And when you don't understand the mind of your enemy, you will never be able to defeat them. That's why America lost in Iraq, it lost in Afghanistan, it will lose in Pakistan, it will lose in Syria, it lost in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia. These are facts. We're watching 24 hours a day. The president of Iran is only a name. The power resides in the hands of the mullahs, and especially Khomeini, who is the supreme religious leader. Are you with me so far?
Yes, sir. He's the, is it the Ayatollah? Is that what he's
called? Ayatollah. Yes. The Grand Ayatollah. Yes. Not just Ayatollah. He's the Grand Ayatollah.
Yes.
So Ahmadinejad was the bulldog, the mouthpiece. They pretend they are fighting each other, but in reality there is no such thing as fighting between them. In reality, if they wanted Ahmadinejad dead, they would have had him dead a long time ago. It is very important Americans understand that Shia Islam is only 15% of the Muslim community. The Muslim community in the world is 1,500 million. 15% only are Shia. Most of them are in Iran. And now what is happening in Syria and in Iraq is a sectarian war between Shia Islam and Sunni Islam. So what's happening in Syria is an internal struggle, religious struggle, and America and Europe have absolutely no reason and no right whatsoever to intervene. Who are they trying to save? They say this humanitarian. Really? How come they did not interfere when the Sudan was massacring hundreds of thousands of Sudanese who were not Arabized? Nobody said anything. Obama did not interfere when the young people in Iran, 3-4 years ago, went against the Iranian Ayatollahs, and he did nothing. Why all of a sudden everybody is concerned with Syria? Syria has always been the enemy of the United States of America. Syria was always associated with Russia, and before that with the Soviet Union. And the war in Syria is Arab war. They created it. Why should America and the West raise $1.5 billion to help them when it is the Arabs who are richer than America and the West put together? America in debt is $1 to $16 trillion. The European countries are in debt to greater amounts of money than this. Do I make sense to you?
This makes sense to me. I've always had the question of what is the difference between a Shia Muslim and is it the Shiite Muslims?
Sunni.
Is it the Sunni Muslim? What's the difference between them?
Okay. When somebody studies the history of Islam, the very day that Muhammad died in the year 632 AD, the same day that Muhammad died, his followers were split into two parts. Number one, who are called the Sunnis, they say that the follower of Muhammad, or the Khalifa, the one who will take over as a representative of Islam, should be any Muslim who knows the Quran and Hadith. The Shia say no. Only the bloodline of Muhammad, that means the descendants of Muhammad, have the right to rule over Islam. Are you with me?
Yep, that makes sense.
Because one of them is, Republican, I would say, the Sunni ones, that any Muslim who knows the Quran very well and is capable of ruling is elected. The others is the bloodline of the family. So the Shia believe that only the bloodline of Muhammad should rule. And the Ayatollahs, most of them, say they are descended from the bloodline of Islam. This has been going on for 1400 years. They have been killing each other for 1400 years. And this year is going to be an extremely important year for both of them. I honestly believe, based only on numbers, not on quantity, quality, on quantity, Sunnis will destroy the Shia because they are 85% and they are richer. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, all the Gulf states, Turkey, the whole of North Africa, all of these people are Sunni. And America should not interfere. The irony of it is while Kerry is saying, go ahead, go ahead. The Defense Department is telling him, go ahead with what? Do we have an out of the, you can get involved in, no problem. But can we get out of it afterwards? There is no policy.
Well,
there is absolutely no program by either the Europeans or the Americans except rhetoric. Moreover, which is even more disastrous, Russia supports Assad. So what? Now Europeans and the Americans want to go against Russia also?
It also
what is the logic?
Wouldn't it be China as well?
I'm not even counting China. I'm not even counting China, but Russia, Putin made it very clear in the meeting G8. He said to Obama, we don't agree. That's a warning. Putin is not a pushover. Putin was KGB, top of the secret service of the Soviet Union at the time. He is not a pushover. And how is America going to enforce her rule on the Europeans? The idiots keep saying, no-fly zone and we shall support the moderates. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening, there are no moderates in Islam. As outrageous as my statements sound, I dare any human being listening to me to come against me and debate me. There are no moderates in Islam because Islam is immoderate. Sharia is hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, racist, duplicitous, disloyal, vile, illogical, immoral, and hence totally ungodly.
And as far as Syria goes, did we help anything when we invaded Iraq? Did we help anything when we invaded Afghanistan? Every time we seem to invade a Middle Eastern country.
Afghanistan, another joke here. Obama is very happy that he is going to talk to Taliban in Qatar. To talk to Taliban about what? The day the American forces leave Afghanistan, within a month, I want people to remember what I'm saying. Within a month, the Taliban will take over Afghanistan.
I agree. But we don't do anything to help. And I think it's because we get our politicians get caught up in the title of president. We hear president, we think a president is the same thing everywhere as it is here. Or we hear democracy and we think it's the same, that democracy here is what everywhere else that has democracy is. And we don't seem to think about things. And we think
they're not thinking. I promise you they're not a single leader in the West. Not a single leader in the West who has got two brain cells of logic regarding Islam. Not one. I know it sounds egregious the way I talk.
Well,
but I have proven it.
If they did, they'd avoid it.
The same thing is happening in Iraq, and it will happen in Afghanistan. It will happen also in Pakistan.
Yeah, I was going to say Pakistan has a lot going on.
The American mind has not understood Islam. They think Islam is a religion, similar to the Judeo-Christian tradition. Bullcrap. First of all, Islam is not a religion. Islam is a cult belief system, the cult of Muhammad. Why do I say that? Because Allah, the God of Muhammad and Islam, is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Can I prove that? I prove it in all my books. I can prove every single statement I make in less than 60 seconds each time. If Allah is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham, then they don't have a religion. Because well, Allah and Muhammad are one and the same.
I'm going to have to take the Craig approach on this and dispute the Jesus thing, but that's just because that's not my thing. That definitely not something that I follow, but the Abraham part I agree with, very much so. And Moses. But, alright, so obviously Islam is something that very bad. It wrecks systems because it's based solely on, it's like a barbaric system. If you're the most ruthless, most powerful, you seem to rise to the top very quickly. What was it that brought you to question? Because I know that you grew up in Iraq, correct?
Correct.
And what brought you to question Islam?
Simple. Well, it's not really simple. I mean, it was just serendipity, they would call it. I mean, I read the Quran when I was in Iraq. And we were not allowed to read the Bible because it wasn't a very great thing to do. So when I came to Europe to study, and I was able to have access to information that I was not able to get in the Middle East, I borrowed a Bible from the library and tried to find out the correlation between the verses in the Quran about the Bible to see if they are similar or identical to the ones in the Bible. We can continue after the break.
Okay, we will return right after the break here. We have IQ Al-Razuli with us, one of the foremost experts of Islam in the world. And we look forward to hearing more from him after the break. Come back to 7 with IQ Al-Razuli here, and he was explaining to us how he came to start to question Islam. If you'd like to continue with your answer, IQ, and then we also have Glenn from Philadelphia that has a question for you after you finish your answer. IQ?
I'm here. I'm listening.
You were talking about what brought you to question Islam and made you...
Yes.
Please finish that story.
Okay. So when I started comparing and contrasting what the Quran says with the Bible, I realized there is absolutely no identification between the two. None whatsoever. Everything in the Quran is hodgepodge. And it's not taken from the Bible. It's taken from apocryphal books, which are not the original thing. So when they speak about Abraham or Moses or Jesus or Miriam, it's not from the New Testament or the Torah. It is from apocryphal books. And they contradict everything in the Bible. So I started researching and learning and learning. So I've been midway for 30 years. And then the summation of this 30 years is that nothing in the Quran was ever revealed to Muhammad by any God called Allah or any messenger or angel called Gabriel. Full stop. That's it. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Glenn, you had a question or a statement that you...
Hey, yeah, there's a lot of language difficulties involved in what you guys do. And you guys are just sort of talking across purposes because of your definitions. Oh, speaking of language, we got to tell Larry there's no such word as unequivocal. It's unequivocal. And you just had a little trouble the other day with impugned. But anyway, as to what you and were just saying, he was saying that Islam is not a religion. You know, his definition of religion is apparently different than Yah's definition of religion, which is apparently different than everyone else's definition of religion in the world, pretty much. Islam is, you know, considered a very, you know, large religion. It is studied in all the religious studies courses of all the universities. And I think it's AR is your guest name, is that right? His initials?
IQ.
IQ, I'm sure. IQ. How could I get that wrong? Anyway, IQ, you just said Islam is not a religion because it doesn't have the same God as several other religions. That doesn't mean it's not a religion. You know, it is a religion. Just because it doesn't, you know, worship the gods you mentioned doesn't mean it's not a religion. There are religions that worship totems and, you know, there are polytheistic religions, there's Shintoism, there's Buddhism, there's Zen Buddhism, there's Pure Land Buddhism. These are all religions, okay? And Islam is most certainly a religion. Christianity is a religion, and it's not one of the world's its largest either. Yaddo always says that Christianity is one of the largest. Yeah, it's like third or fourth. Buddhism was always recognized as being the world's largest religion, and the communists pretty much tamped it down quite a lot. Christianity pales in comparison, you know, in size compared to Hinduism and Islam and stuff like that. It's never been the world's most popular religion. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know how you can say Islam is not a religion. You know, and both religious and atheist ideologies all attempt to use the nation-state governments to further their agendas. You know, so you have political ideologies and you have religious ideologies, and everybody's trying to manipulate and use the other, and many use lies and violence constantly. This is all these people groups, ideological groups, political ideological groups, religious ideological groups, all using lies and violence to try and manipulate and control the world. It's just that simple. You know, and certainly,
IQ, why don't you respond to Glenn there? And
I can finish one more thing and I'll be done.
Go ahead.
Let me finish one more thing, my little tirade, and I'll be done.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have all those nasty Muslims who attack the USS Liberty, and those Muslims with their Chinese network all throughout the United States, and the dancing Muslims, you know, art students on 9/11. Oh wait, no, those weren't Muslims. Those were Israelis and Jews, you know. So we have all kinds of groups attempting to do all sorts of treacherous and horrible things, you know. And it's all ideology trying to control it. It's Muslims being treacherous or Jews being treacherous. Everybody wants to rule the world.
All right. When we come back from this commercial break, we'll have IQ respond to Glenn. I look forward to hearing about that after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Glenn raised the point last segment that he doesn't understand how IQ cannot call Islam a religion. And IQ, if you'd respond to that?
Very simple. First of all, the gentleman never read the Bible. He never read the Quran. And he also asserted that the 19 Muslims, Arabs, who attacked the Twin Towers and destroyed them, killing 3,000 Americans, were Israeli disguised as Muslims. With a mindset like this, really, it's very difficult to debate. But answering the question, what I mean by religion, I mean monotheistic religion. Then he spoke about Hindu. Hinduism is a polytheistic religion. We're not discussing polytheism. Then he spoke about Buddhism. Buddhism is not a religion, it's a way of life. They don't have a god. Islam pretends that it is monotheistic. That is similar to the Jewish and the Christian tradition. It isn't. And since it isn't, it is not a religion. Moreover, many of the verses of the Quran are not followed by the followers of Muhammad. They follow the sunnah of Muhammad, that means the traditions of Muhammad. So when somebody follows the traditions of a human being, and not those of the divine, this is cultism. He really should read the English dictionary. True, he corrected me, but really, he shouldn't have corrected me, although I appreciate it. Because my mother tongue is Arabic, not English. So I'm excused if I make a mistake in English.
You'll have no problem.
Islam is not a religion. What I mean by that is not monotheistic. It is not even similar, let alone identical to that of the Christian and the Jewish tradition. Unless somebody reads the Quran, which he hadn't, and reads the Hadith, which he hadn't, he cannot possibly come to any conclusion which is logical. I wanted to ask him, have you read the Quran? I know he hasn't, in any language. People can say whatever they want on radio. They can say whatever they want on television. The first question I ask in any debate, have you read the Quran? And they ask, in which language did you read it? Which Quran did you read? Because each author of the Quran or translator of the Quran has a different point of view. So I need to know which one he read. I haven't had time to answer him. But his attack, although sounds justifiable, it isn't. Islam claims that it is the fulfillment of the Jewish and Christian tradition. It isn't. Islam is pagan religion. Why? Because what the Muslims do when they go to the Kaaba, when they pray at the Kaaba, when they circumambulate the Kaaba, when they run between the two mountains, all these things were pagan traditions of Arabia before Muhammad and his Quran. Before Muhammad and his Quran. All Muhammad did, he said, my fellow Arabs, instead of having 360 gods and goddesses, with Allah as the supreme God, you ignore the 360 gods and goddesses. You believe only with the supreme God called Allah. Allah does not mean God, by the way. This is another deception by Islam and the Arabs. Allah is the name of the God of pagan Arabia. Allah was the name of the supreme God of pagan Arabia centuries before Muhammad and his Quran. In fact, Muhammad's father was called Abdullah. Abdullah means slave of Allah. So the name Allah pre-existed Muhammad. And the traditions are there. The books are there in the Arabic language, translated in every language on planet. Allah of pagan Arabia had three daughters, Al-Lat, Wal-Uzza, Wal-Manat. So how could Allah be God?
Well, is he ever, throughout the Quran, is Allah ever pictured to be in heaven? Every time I've read anything, he's been in, he's in hell. He's torturing people in hell.
I mean, I agree with you, but I mean, we're discussing here a mindset. You have 1,500 million human beings indoctrinated into the most vile scripture that has ever been insinuated into the human consciousness. I repeat something. I've always said it. I've been saying it for a long time. Calling Islam peaceful or a religion rank as two of the most egregious lies that have ever been insinuated into the human consciousness. Because they're not. I give you examples. People don't usually believe what I say unless I give them examples. By the way, even when I give them examples, they're in denial. The Quran says, chapter 9, At-Tawbah. Verse 29. It says, fight, قاتلوا, those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which has been forbidden by Allah and his apostle Muhammad, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, Islam, even if they are of the people of the book, that is Christians and Jews, until they pay the jizya. Ladies and gentlemen, the jizya is an onerous tax for not being a Muslim. And this is imposed upon the Christians and Jews with willing submission and feel themselves humiliated. Tell me, what's so godly about this? Just to make sure that the listeners would believe what I'm telling. I would like to put forth a challenge worth $100,000 to the first person who can show us all one single operative verse in Muhammad's Quran that demonstrates any compassion and mercy to all unbelievers. Ladies and gentlemen, currently, unbelievers represent 80% of humanity, 5,500 million human beings, all Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics, etc. That is any and all those who are not Muslims. 100,000 for just one verse from over 6,200 verses in Muhammad's Quran. Does that make sense to you, to prove a point?
That makes sense. You've been given that that challenge out ever since I met you. And
I've had that for over 10 years. No takers.
No takers?
You know, that's 10 years, no takers. Another verse, very interesting. Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 85. If anyone desires a religion other than Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of him. Al-Ma'idah 5.51. O ye who believe, Muslims, take not the Jews, Yahud in Arabic, and the Christians, Nasara in Arabic, for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors to each other, and he amongst you that turns to them for friendship is of them. You know, it's crystal clear what it tells you. It tells the followers of Muhammad, the Muslims, that if they befriend Christians and Jews, or go under their rule of law, they become apostates, they become against Islam. That is why no Muslim can ever be loyal to the American Constitution or to the American people. It's not because they are evil. It is because they are indoctrinated to be evil by Sharia. What I'm quoting is in the Quran. This is their own scripture. I'm not perverting it. I'm not taking it out of context. These verses remind me of Hitler's Mein Kampf, the Nazi master race creed. Another verse, Al-Anfal 8.55. For the worst beasts in the sight of Allah are those who reject him. They will not believe. La yu'minuna. Ladies and gentlemen, only a few months ago, two Americans, Muslims, blew up tens of Americans in Boston. Why did they do that? They were wearing American clothing. They were taken in America, and the American taxpayer was paying for them. They ran away from Muslim country in Pakistan. But they turned on a dime. They turned anti-American. But it wasn't anti-American. Because from their point of view, the verse I just quoted to you, that the worst of beasts in the sight of Allah are those who reject him. Americans do not believe in Allah. So from the point of view of those Muslims, they didn't kill human beings. They killed animals. Sounds outrageous, doesn't it?
That is outrageous, but I believe it was on your website that I read that we're not the only ones that have problems with Muslim immigration. Isn't Sweden going through a massive...
Not only Sweden. Wherever Muslims go, they destroy. They don't start by destroying. When they are a minority, that's 1%, 2%, 3%, they pretend they're part and parcel of the American dream, for example. Then they demand Sharia when they go number 5, 6%. And the minute you allow Sharia, which is the nemesis of democracy, which is the enemy of all decency and and freedom, the minute you allow it to take root, it will be the beginning and the end of Western civilization. What's happening in Sweden? The Swedish government and the Swedish media would not bring themselves to say that the people who are rioting, the people who are burning places and cars are Muslims. They said no, they're immigrants. But then they give you the names of the countries from which they came. Somalia, Iraq, Kurdistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, all Muslim countries. But they will not say it's Muslim because they're politically correct.
Well,
what's happening in America is disastrous. You have judges allowing Sharia to take root in the name of equality, in the name of liberty, in the name of tolerance. Ladies and gentlemen, the most intolerant belief system on planet Earth for the last 1400 years is Islam. Question. Today, in the 21st century, the most persecuted people on the planet are Christians. By whom? By Muslims. In every Muslim country, the Christians are targeted. Why only the Christians? Because there are no Jews there. There are no Hindus, there are no Buddhists, only Christians. And the Christians I'm talking about are the oldest communities in these countries.
Wow. Very good point. Well, after the break, we'll return to IQ Al-Razouli and more stories of Islam. Thank you for listening to Shattered Myths. We are with IQ Razouli, and IQ, we talked a little bit during the break, and you mentioned there's some things going on in Turkey. Do you want to talk about that quick?
Yeah. Everywhere we look, everywhere the Americans can see on radio or television, can hear on radio or see on television. In every Muslim country, there is an uprising of some kind. Turkey used to be a secular state. Secular means the Sharia law of Islam was not allowed to dominate. And for 70 years, Turkey was doing extremely well under that. Erdogan took over under the Islamists 10 years ago or 11 years ago. And he started implementing Sharia slowly. He started it very clever, very slowly, but methodically. Until now, Sharia is literally a dominant power. But when Sharia rules, not even a blade of grass can grow. Because it's intolerant. You know, many Americans, especially those judges who want to be tolerant of Islam, are missing one of the most important axioms ever I have ever read. And I'm going to repeat them. About tolerance. This axiom by a man called Karl Popper. People can check it. It says, unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance, even to those who are intolerant, like Islam, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant jihadi Muslims, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. We should therefore claim, in the name of tolerance, the right not to tolerate the intolerant. Ladies and gentlemen, hence we must never tolerate the intolerance of Islam and Sharia, nor allow them to soil our soil. There is another saying, those who tolerate evil are intolerant of good and intolerant of God. But you, sir?
That's a pretty strong statement, and highly intelligent statement.
But it serves the purposes. People have got to wake up.
They do.
It's nice to be tolerant.
Questioning.
You've got to be tolerant towards people who are appreciating your tolerance.
Well, and questioning things is never a bad thing.
By the American Constitution. Why is it difficult for Americans to understand what I'm telling you? They cannot abide by the American Constitution because the American Constitution is man-made. It is not from Allah. And if it is not from Allah, it cannot be accepted by a Muslim.
We're also a society that thrives on political correctness. For the past 30 years, we've been pretty much politically correct, which is never a good thing. Questioning things is always a good thing. I was going to get your opinion on something. I saw that the Palestinian Prime Minister, the fake people of Palestine, the Palestinian Prime Minister, he quit after 2 weeks into the job, and the speculation is that it was a power struggle with the President, Mohammed Abbas. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I want Americans to understand something. this so-called President Mohammed Abbas. His presidency expired about 3 years ago. He was not re-elected. Democracy cannot exist in Islam. Why is it so difficult for the American mind to understand these things? I'm giving you facts based on knowledge. And you can check me out anytime. Simple. Look at the map of the world today. There are 57 Muslim majority states on the planet. No one can name a single one of them which is a democracy. Not one. Why is that? There is a common denominator. What is the common denominator? Islam. They're Muslim. They say that Indonesia is a tolerant society. Bullcrap. They are creating rules against Hindus and against Christians in Indonesia. The same thing in Malaysia. The same thing in Egypt. The same thing in Iraq. My country, Iraq. I repeat it again. In the year 2003, we had 1.25 million Christians. These Christians pre-existed the Arab invasion by centuries. Today, as we speak, there are only 200,000. 1 million had to run away. 1.1 million had to run away from Islam. Why is Obama quiet? Why are the Americans quiet?
I ask a question,
nobody answers me.
That's a fantastic question. We're either ignorant or we don't care. Neither one's a good thing to have. Well, IQ, I thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you
for having me. God willing, I'll see you next week.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
You take care, sir.
Take care.